Our reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, 13, and 15 through 17. Marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all.
We have been talking about church, and today is the last day, last Sunday of this sermon series. What does it mean to be a church? Why is it so important? And what defines us as the church? As we have the Thanksgiving Sunday, I'm really grateful for our church and each one of you, your presence in my life and our work together. So, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and more. These are the SNS apps that many people, particularly young people, are using a lot. How many of you are using a lot? I mean, my wife once said, you know what, Paul, Facebook is kind of old, so young people, I mean, in their 10s and 20s, they are not using Facebook a lot, but they are using some others. So I thought, oh, then am I not young anymore? So, and you probably have seen this kind of picture, right? People are gathered, friends are gathered together, looking at their cell phone. Maybe they are communicating on their chat. Some of you may think they are spending too much time on any of those apps, not making actual friends. But at some point, I think what they are doing is looking for friendship. They are longing for companionship, just like you and me, in seeking people who are doing life and value together. And what's interesting is, we, the church, is a community of people who come together to do life together, to support one another, and care for one another, and encourage one another. And ideally, we don't have to worry about what you look like when you come to church, because Jesus says, come as you are. No matter who you are, no matter what you're doing for living, you can just come. Come close to me. And the church is a place we share our lives together in Jesus Christ with the people who have your back and those people whom you are willing to take their back in our prayer and support. That is the church. And I think if the people outside the church know who we are, and what we are doing, really, they will say, a lot of them, they will say, that is exactly what I need. That is exactly what I need. The companionship. Let's think about the creation story. God created Adam. And one day God says, what is he doing? What is Adam doing? He's making a trouble, so I don't think it is good for him to be alone. And I'm going to make somebody who's going to give help. So God created another human being, upgrade model, human being 2.0. Amen. A new approved model, Eve. And God brought Eve to Adam. Oh, yes. And this story, it is not just about marriage, but about our relationship, friendship, and companionship. It is about our life. We know the church is a place God gathered all of us to worship God and open ourselves to God's will and vision in our life so that we may truly become a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is the key purpose we gather together so that we may find who we are, the children of God. Yes, that is so clear. This is our top priority, and that is ultimately what we are doing as a church. And another essential role of the church is, it is to be a place where people know your name, where people care for you, where you can be real, who we are, and where you can get help and give help. And it is a place you celebrate your life and grieve your loss. In doing so, we are not just having somebody's back. In doing so, we may feel God's presence in our lives with one another. That is why God created us. We need that. So the church is meant to be that for each one of us. We may find the people whom we do life together in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, companionship is really, really important. Not only for your spiritual life, but also your physical life. So Dr. Doug Oman, the professor at the University of California, Berkeley, he did research a few years ago. And he collected data over 30 years on about 6,500 people. Quite a number, right? And he found that non-churchgoers, they were about 21% more likely to die early or earlier than those who have a faith community. Why don't you look at each other? They are the one who makes you live longer. So being involved in a faith community has a significant impact on your and my physical health. Then what is it? What is it that makes difference? Part of it, of course, it is that you are connected with God in faith. So you turn your burden and problem over to God in your prayer, the things that causes your stress and headache and stomachache. Then you find God's peace and help, and our stress level goes down when you are engaged in our faith. That is what we do every day. Every day. And the other fact is that people have friends in the church who care for them, encourage them, and sustain them. When you are sick, there are people who will help you in so many ways, if you open your vulnerability. When you are in the hospital, some people come to see you or send you a card or pray for you. When there are crises in your life, people think of you, maybe in your marriage, in your financial crisis. People around you in this sanctuary support you and have you in their prayers and lower your stress. That is the difference that being involved in the church makes in our lives. Yes, it is the companionship we are meant to have in the body of Christ. We know the perfect companionship with the Holy Spirit. That's the ideal. That's the ideal aspect of the church, who we are. But sometimes the reality is not like that. The church is not perfect. Many times the church fails to love and live by God's will. Sometimes people get upset and disappointed and frustrated because they expect the church to be perfect, but it is not. Why? Because none of us is perfect. That is reality. Only God is perfect. I'm not perfect. You have seen me making a lot of mistakes already. I'm not perfect. You are not perfect. Only God is perfect. For instance, unless you talk to me where you are and what you feel, I have no idea what you feel and where you are going to. Right? If you don't talk to me when you go to the hospital or maybe for a surgery, if you don't tell me, I have no idea. Please tell me, and I'm going to have you in my prayer, and I'm going to go visit you. Because we are not perfect. So many times we may hurt other people, and we may be hurt by other people. That's why Apostle Paul says in describing what we need in the church, which is love. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. Because we are not perfect, we hurt other people somehow. Sometimes, even we do not want to do. And we get hurt by others. And think about that. If I quit the church as your pastor, every time somebody hurts my feeling, oh yes, I would have been stopped for many, many years ago. And if the church fired me every time I hurt somebody's feeling, one of you, I think I would have been fired from my first month, or who knows, from my first week. But here is what we have in our church. We have grace, mercy, and forgiveness given by God so that we may forgive or ask for forgiveness and be forgiven because of God's grace. In Romans chapters 12 through 16, Apostle Paul describes what Christian community looks like. And our scripture reading today is the beginning of those chapters. And he's teaching us in his letter how to be the church. He says, you should love one another with mutual affection. Now, outdo one another in showing honor. And we find two words. There are two words that I want to look at. He says, love, love. In this text, love in Greek word is Philadelphia. Sound familiar, right? Philadelphia. Phila comes from philia, which means love. It is the kind of love we have both affection and commitment. It's not just about feeling. And Delphia means brother. So we don't want to be exclusive, so we say, okay, maybe sister's love or family love. Let's say Philadelphia is a sibling's love or family love. So by using this vocabulary, Apostle Paul says, you in the church, we are to love with a sibling's love or family love, in such a way to reflect the family connection we have in Jesus Christ. We are to love with the most intimate kind of love and care for one another as the people who are bounded in the family. Yes, he's saying that the church is a family, and we are connected together by our common faith in Jesus Christ. So we call each other brother and sister or siblings, and we are meant to live like that. That is Philadelphia. The family love we have and we are trying to have in our church. And there are two more vocabularies which have to come with. I mean, that helps us understand what it is to be a church in the New Testament. The first one is agape, and the second one is koinonia. Many of you know agape. It is usually translated love, but it is not, again, not just about feeling. Agape love is not a madly love between couple. So think about yourself. Why don't you look at each other And you don't say during the night, oh, I love him. I really love her, and I can't sleep think of her or him. You don't say that, right? Please, talk to your, spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend. Agape love is not that kind of love. It is the love we see and we show by our action and our commitment, even though sometimes I don't feel it. So when the New Testament talks about what Jesus does on his cross and how he shows us the full extent of God's love, it says, the Bible says, he shows us the full extent of God's agape love by hanging on the cross, by giving himself for us and for the world. That is the sacrificial love given to us, even though we do not deserve it, and sometimes we don't feel it. And Jesus says, the world will know that you are my people, you are my disciple in your agape with one another. And part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the church, that is to demonstrate your and my sacrificial love to one another in our prayer, support, and ministry, even though sometimes we don't feel it, even though people don't have a right to claim it from us. That is what we do in so many of our ministry. That's the reason we do what we are doing as a church. And the last word, that is koinonia, which is often translated into fellowship and community, which is also translated communion. When you have the Holy Communion, you are having holy koinonia, sharing our relationship not only with the people in this church, but also the people around the world, and ultimately with Jesus. Maybe through coffee time before and after the worship, you're not just connected with the people whom you are talking with, but also the people more in this sanctuary and with Jesus Christ. As a community of faith, we get to know one another, and we are involved in the life of each other, helping, encouraging, and sometimes challenging, and sustaining one another in Jesus Christ. To learn more about the church, how we may be the church and do the church, there are more words that define church, such as kerygma, didache, and diakonia. We will have more time later. But today, we talked about Philadelphia, agape, koinonia. These three words characterize how the church is supposed to be and do and act toward one another. And let me ask you, what is it? Or what was it which led you to come to the church? What is it that leads you to decide to be the follower of Jesus Christ? Is it my sermon? I hope so, but people don't come to church because of a brilliant sermon or argument or theology. People come to church because of other people who carry love and companionship and hospitality and example of Jesus Christ's love. This is who we are before God and the people around us, and it is who we are called to be. So let our neighbors know God through you. Let them see Jesus in you. Whenever they see you, let them see Jesus and the love of God in you and me. Let's be the church. with one another in God's love. And we give you thanks to God for our church and for one another. Amen.